Welcome to Learning English from the Voice of America. I'm Katie Weaver. Today on the show, Ann Ball brings us Ask a Teacher. We close our program with An American Story, The Devil and Tom Walker by Washington Irving. But first, here's Susan Shand.
Japanese Emperor Naruhito and Empress Masako are bringing changes to one of the world's oldest royal families. The two have spoken with foreign visitors in English. They laugh with children and even play with dogs. They are Japan's first emperor and empress to have earned university degrees. They speak several languages and have years of experience of living overseas. At one time, the future emperor even washed his own clothes. 6 months after starting their official duties, they appear to be making Japan's royal family more international and bringing it closer to the lives of average citizens. They have also surprised many Japanese who worried they might have trouble taking the place of Emperor Akihito and Empress Michiko. They were worried about Empress Masako, who has struggled for years with what officials call an adjustment disorder. Though the previous emperor and empress were seen as being close to the people, these two seem even closer, said Hideya Kawanishi. She is an assistant history professor at Nagoya University. Emperor Naruhito is the first Japanese ruler to be cared for by his mother, instead of being raised by nurses and teachers. His parents made efforts to give him a normal childhood, including sending him to school with food for lunch. He earned a degree from Gakushuin University, where he studied water systems. He then spent 2 years at the University of Oxford, which he said were some of the best years of his life. He later married Masako Owada, a diplomat, following objections to his choice from officials. The two have one daughter, 17-year-old Aiko, who, as a woman, cannot take the chrysanthemum throne. The royal couple's overseas experience was evident when they held a dinner for U.S. President Donald Trump soon after they took power. They spoke to Trump and his wife, Melania, in English, only later agreeing to use an interpreter because of official rules. The emperor and empress speak English so well, it is clear they have lived internationally, Kawanishi said. The couple seems a world away from the traditional behavior of the past. Emperor Naruhito has agreed to have his picture taken with members of the public while traveling overseas. In Japan, he and his wife recently laughed with children and played with dogs during a visit to a dog shelter. This is not something you could imagine the previous imperial couple ever doing, at least not so naturally, Kawanishi said. Empress Masako struggles with her adjustment disorder and official duties. She lived a very private life for the past 10 years, but now she is an empress with a quick smile. The Japanese public seems to have forgotten about her health issues. The fact that she can act as she wants means there is less stress. Rather, it's a plus for her recovery, Kasahara said. For now, she and the emperor appear to be moving slowly as they take on their official duties. I'm Susan Shan.
A wooden building stands next to a highway in the mountains of northern Georgia. Once it was a restaurant. Now it serves a less ordinary purpose. Welcome to Expedition Bigfoot, the Sasquatch Museum. Bigfoot, or Sasquatch, are said to be ape-like creatures that live in the wilderness. The owner of this strange place is David Bacara. Bacara is a longtime member of the Bigfoot Field Researchers Organization. He also served in the Navy, drove trucks, and worked at a bar before he and his wife, Melinda, opened the museum in 2016. I wanted to take what I know about Bigfoot as an active researcher and investigator, but I'm also a huge Disney World fan, the 57-year-old Bacara says. I was thinking, maybe I can make this thing like a family attraction. Sherry Gaskin and her husband, Philip Blevins, decided to stop at the museum. I can remember my great-grandmother talking about having a cabin in the woods, and she saw Sasquatch, Gaskin says. Blevins is less interested. If it was up to me, he says, I'd already be on down the road. The museum has a large display of Bigfoot attacking a cabin with a mannequin trying to keep the door closed. The museum has maps, statues, and videos. It also has statements from those who claim to have seen a Bigfoot. The reason I didn't shoot it is it was just too human, a hunter says in one statement. I couldn't pull the trigger because something told me this ain't right. There is even a glass container that reportedly holds feces collected from a Sasquatch in Oregon. People provide additional evidence to the museum's large collection often. Recently, two casts of footprints supposedly made by a foreign Bigfoot arrived in the mail. Bacara is quick to point out that Bigfoot is a worldwide phenomenon. In Australia, the creature is known as Yowie. In the Himalayas, people call it the Yeti. Its name in Russia is Alma. In the United States, there's the Florida skunk ape, the Georgia booger, and the Missouri Momo. There are several subspecies of these things, Bacara says. Some have short hair. Others have long, red flowing hair. Some are multicolored. Some of them have a very human-like face. They just run the gamut. Bacara says he has seen two of the beasts himself. He knows he will never persuade all people, probably not even most people, of Bigfoot's existence. He is fine with that. Does everybody need to know everything you know? Bacara asks. No, it's best they don't know. There are doubters, of course. One person signed the guest book as Bigfoot, listing his home as the woods. But Bacara says most visitors treat the museum with respect, at least while they are there. I'm just curious, says Angie Langelier, who stopped in with her family recently. She added that she had seen nothing that made her believe in Bigfoot's existence. But obviously, a lot of people have seen a lot of things that have convinced them, I'm John Russell.
New York City will finally honor real women with a statue in its famous Central Park. City officials voted this week for the creation of a statue of three female civil rights leaders. Central Park has 23 statues of men who were important in history, but none of women. In fact, females are represented only by statues of imaginary characters. These include a statue of Alice, the hero of Alice in Wonderland books by 19th century British writer Lewis Carroll. The new statue from artist Meredith Bergman is to be uncovered next August. Visitors will see the representation of past activists Susan B. Anthony, Elizabeth Cady Stanton, and Sojourner Truth. The three women were contemporaries and leaders in the anti-slavery, women's rights, and anti-alcohol movements. Their activism helped to secure the right of women to vote in 1920. Pam Elam is president of the nonprofit organization Monumental Women. It worked with historians, community leaders, and local officials in support of the statue. Elam said the artwork shows the power of women working together to bring about revolutionary change in our society. The group privately raised $1.5 million to create and care for the new statue and a linked educational program. Bergman's early design for the statue included only Anthony and Stanton. Observers criticized its lack of African-American representation, noting that women of that group were also important to the fight for women's suffrage. So, Bergman redesigned the statue to add truth. Central Park is not the only area of New York limited in statues representing historical women. In fact, the government group She Built NYC says the large city of five boroughs has just five public statues of women from history. A 2016 news story in the magazine Smithsonian.com reported that women were the subject of only about 7% of public statues in the United States that depict real people.
Today, we answer a question from Sandra M. She writes, "Hello, could you tell me, please, what the difference is between each and every? Which option is correct, each cell or every cell?" Dear Sandra, thank you for writing to us. Yes, each and every are very similar words. I admit, sometimes I have to think about which one to use. In general, you use each when you are talking about one individual object or person. Every is used for a group of objects or people that you group together. For example, you can say, "Each tree in the forest is different, but every tree is beautiful." Here's another example. The American poet Maya Angelou said, I believe that every person is born with talent. She used every because she was talking about all people. But if she wanted to point out that we are not all good at the same things, she could have added, each person has a different talent, just like each person has a different voice. Now, let's answer your question. Use each cell if you're talking about individual cells or cells that are not the same. For example, each cell has a specific purpose. One cell becomes part of a heart, one cell becomes part of a lung, and one cell becomes part of a brain. But if you say every cell in your body has a wall, you are talking about the group of cells in your body and how they are all alike. By the way, you can also put each and every together in the same sentence to show you have a strong opinion, like this. I want each and every one of you to know we believe you can be good English speakers. And that's Ask a Teacher. I'm Ann Ball.
Before we begin our story, let us go back 300 years to the late 1600s. In those years, one of the most famous men in the world was Captain William Kidd. Captain Kidd was a pirate. He sailed the seas, capturing any ships he found. He and his men took money from these ships. Captain Kidd hid this money in different places. Captain Kidd was captured by the English in Boston, Massachusetts, and executed in the year 1701. From that time on, people all over the world searched in many places for Captain Kidd's stolen money. The people who lived in Massachusetts in the 1700s believed Captain Kidd buried some of his treasure near Boston. Not far from Boston was a small river which ran into the Atlantic Ocean. An old story said that Captain Kidd had come up this river from the ocean. Then he buried his gold and silver and jewels under a big tree. The story said that this treasure was protected by the devil himself, who was a good friend of Captain Kidd. In the year 1727, a man named Tom Walker lived near this place. Tom Walker was not a pleasant man. He loved only one thing, money. There was only one person worse than Tom. That was his wife. She also loved money. These two were so hungry for money that they even stole things from each other. One day, Tom Walker was returning home through a dark forest. He walked slowly and carefully, so that he would not fall into a pool of mud. At last, he reached a piece of dry ground. Tom sat down on a tree that had fallen. As he rested, he dug into the earth with a stick. He knew the story that Indians had killed prisoners here as sacrifices to the devil. but this did not trouble him. The only devil Tom was afraid of was his wife. Tom's stick hit something hard. He dug it out of the earth. It was a human skull. In the skull was an Indian axe. Suddenly, Tom Walker heard an angry voice. "Don't touch that skull!" Tom looked up. He saw a giant sitting on a broken tree. Tom had never seen such a man. He wore the clothes of an Indian. His skin was almost black and covered with ashes. His eyes were big and red. His black hair stood up from his head. He carried a large axe. The giant asked, "What are you doing on my land?" But Tom Walker was not afraid. He answered, "What do you mean? This land belongs to Mr. Peabody." The strange man laughed and pointed to the tall trees. Tom saw that one of the trees had been cut by an axe. He looked more closely and saw that the name Peabody had been cut into the tree. Mr. Peabody was a man who got rich by stealing from Indians. Tom looked at the other trees. Every one had the name of some rich, important man from Massachusetts. Tom looked at the tree on which he was sitting. It also had a name cut into it, the name of Absalom Croninshield. Tom remembered that Mr. Croninshield was a very rich man. People said he got his money, as Captain Kidd did, by stealing ships. Suddenly, the giant shouted, "Croninshield is ready to be burned. I'm going to burn many trees this winter." Tom told the man that he had no right to cut Mr. Peabody's trees. The stranger laughed and said, "I have every right to cut these trees. This land belonged to me a long time before Englishmen came to Massachusetts. The Indians were here. Then you Englishmen killed the Indians. Now I show Englishmen how to buy and sell slaves, and I teach their women how to be witches." Tom Walker now knew that the giant was the devil himself. But Tom Walker was still not afraid. The giant said Captain Kidd had buried great treasures under the trees, but nobody could have them unless the giant permitted it. He said Tom could have these treasures, but Tom had to agree to give the giant what he demanded. Tom Walker loved money as much as he loved life, but he asked for time to think. Tom went home. He told his wife what had happened. She wanted Captain Kidd's treasure. She urged him to give the devil what he wanted. Tom said no. At last, Mrs. Walker decided to do what Tom refused to do. She put all her silver in a large piece of cloth and went to see the dark giant. 2 days passed. She did not return home. She was never seen again. People said later that Tom went to the place where he had met the giant. He saw his wife's cloth hanging in a tree. He was happy because he wanted to get her silver. But when he opened the cloth, there was no silver in it, only a human heart. Tom was sorry he lost the silver, but not sorry he lost his wife. He wanted to thank the giant for this. And so every day he looked for the giant. Tom finally decided that he would give the giant what he wanted in exchange for Captain Kidd's treasure. One night, Tom Walker met the giant and offered his soul in exchange for Captain Kidd's treasure. The devil now wanted more than that. He said that Tom would have to use the treasure to do the devil's work. He wanted Tom to buy a ship and bring slaves to America. As we have said, Tom Walker was a hard man who loved nothing but money. But even he could not agree to buy and sell human beings as slaves. He refused to do this. The devil then said that his second most important work was lending money. The men who did this work for the devil forced poor people who borrowed money to pay back much more than they had received. Tom said he would like this kind of work. So the devil gave him Captain Kidd's treasure. A few days later, Tom Walker was a lender of money in Boston. Everyone who needed help, and there were many who did, came to him. Tom Walker became the richest man in Boston. When people were not able to pay him, he took away their farms, their horses, and their houses. As he got older and richer, Tom began to worry. What would happen when he died? He had promised his soul to the devil. Maybe, maybe he could break that promise. Tom then became very religious. He went to church every week. He thought that if he prayed enough, he could escape from the devil. One day, Tom took the land of a man who had borrowed money. The poor man asked for more time to pay. "Please do not destroy me," he said. "You have already taken all my money." Tom got angry and started to shout, "Let the devil take me if I have taken any money from you." That was the end of Tom Walker. For just then he heard a noise. He opened the door. There was the black giant holding a black horse. The giant said, "Tom, I have come for you." He picked up Tom and put him on the horse. Then he hit the horse, which ran off, carrying Tom. Nobody ever saw Tom Walker again. A farmer said that he saw the black horse with a man on it running wildly into the forest. After Tom Walker disappeared, the government decided to take Tom's property, but there was nothing to take. All the papers which showed that Tom owned land and houses were burned to ashes. His boxes of gold and silver had nothing in them but small pieces of wood. The wood came from newly cut trees. Tom's horses died, and his house suddenly burned to ashes.
That's our show for today. For VOA Learning English, I'm Katie Weaver.